And then the desire of the people writ large was to say, these gifts should not just be given to people that are connected to this church, but they should be given more and more broadly. And so over time, churches have actually kind of given some of their role over to government. But it has ultimately, originally been churches that have been the centers for both justice and mercy in communities, and have been the places where the identity of a community is really knit together. So I wanted to invite a member of our church to come up and talk a little bit about her experience of this that's very personal to her. Marilyn Miller, where are you? Would you come up and talk a little bit about the experience of the Boy Scout troop, the first Boy Scout troop in West Seattle, which was launched out of this congregation?
Some of this came from the book that's in the pew, the Century Book, pages 13, 14, and 15. Some from my grandfather's autobiography, and if they will be happy to know, some of it also came from West Seattle Herald. The year is 1913. On February 18th, the whole city mourned the passing of a Reverend E. Tremaine Dunstan of the West Seattle Congregational Church. But the church didn't have to wait long for a replacement. In April of 1913, the Reverend J. E. Dunstan arrived from Australia to succeed his father as pastor. And in March of 1914, he married a local girl, Charlotte Tennant. Thanksgiving evening of 1914, my grandfather, William Grant Barnett, arrived in West Seattle, having left Scotland on the 24th of May, and worked his way across Canada on a harvesting crew, which paid his railroad fare. His two older sisters had established themselves in West Seattle, and they attended this West Seattle Congregational Church. So he also attended and enjoyed parties and picnics in the Young People's Organization. The minister, on hearing his accent, asked if he knew about Baden Powell. Well, yes, my grandfather knew about Baden Powell and the scouts and had actually started a patrol in his village of Leith Walk. On page 14 of the book, there is a picture of the young men of the church. Reverend Jack encouraged my grandfather to start a Boy Scout troop in the church. You see the difference? Patrols and there are a lot of different words in it. It would be the fourth troop in Seattle, and they got their charter in January of 1915. I'll be like the lady last night. A little aside, when we were cleaning the office for Andrew, we read some of the church minutes, and he was always asked at every council meeting, how are the boys doing? What are you doing? Well, one of the members of the church was a doctor, and he was giving first aid lessons, and so that was fun to read that in the books. West Seattle was a great scouting area. They didn't have to go too far to have all-night camping. And this is one story that's told over and over again in the troop. One night, we were camping west of California Avenue, and I think it's probably down near the old Fairmont Church area. 2 o'clock in the morning, we were all awakened by a terrific blast. It turned out that a barge load of munitions had exploded on Elliott Bay, but the scouts didn't know that at the time. At Barnett's order, they broke camp quickly and headed back to town. We could hear the echo of the explosion hit the Olympic Mountains and the Cascade Mountains and back again, he said. It created such a vacuum that the windows blew out on the street. People were standing on their porches. But the big question was, what have the scouts done now? The minister had not been paid for 6 months, and I read in the book that it was only a $100 salary. He left in April of 1915 for Valdez, Alaska. But my grandfather led the troop until 1918. At their 75th anniversary in 1990, they were one of the four oldest troops in the country.
Wow.
They now have been going strong for 105 years. They have a new number, 284, and a new badge with a Grant tartan. Now, I should say that was designed by a Carfrae girl. Carfrae was his third sister that joined this church, married in this church. George and Joyce were active in this church and their daughters, so still connections. And I should say, too, the Edwards, where the Edwards, right back there, their son went through the troop, too. So this church has had two Eagle projects. One was the setting of the old church bell, a little brick setting there, planting. And recently, Sean Dunbar worked on the railings down to the lower auditorium. We have welcomed the troop back for a few summers, and they love this location for their yard sales.
So Admiral Congregational Church is a hub in this neighborhood, in this community, in West Seattle, for ministries of justice and mercy. And Joanne Murray wanted to come up and talk to you a little bit about the mercy work that happens in and through this congregation.
In 1958, we were married in the old church here. Jay was a member before then, so I think we're probably some of the longest active members other than Janet Nelson, who was born into the church, I think, and there may be others, but I know that Cliff was also married in the church in June of 1958, a little bit before us, but we've seen a lot of changes over the years. One of the things is that we are a community of loving people in West Seattle. We do a lot of things to help others, and our outreach programs are just really incredible. Faith, we believe in the power of love. God is love. We believe in the power of hope, peace, joy, and live by the principles that all people are children of God and loved unconditionally. No matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. God is still speaking is one of the things that our denomination has had as the mantra for quite a while. And the other thing was never put a period where God put a comma. Because there are still things that are changing. We are still learning new things. And it's a universal thing, but we feel it very much in our church congregation here. This congregation is small in numbers, but great in service. Some of the things that we have done and are doing are the food bank support. Our summer food drive, we collected and donated over 3,000 pounds of food for the food bank. That's an awesome number. We helped a lot of people, especially children, during the summer food drive. In the winter time, we provide winter coats, hats, scarves, gloves, socks, underwear, and donate them to the Compass Center downtown to help to clothe the people who are in need and the homeless. Our Christmas giving tree every year, we have children's toys that we donate that go to Mary's Place. We used to take them to the Salvation Army so that the parents could come in there and pick up toys for their children who didn't have much money to have for children's gifts at Christmas time. In the fall, just last week, we had the crop walk where we donate money to help others, as well as the envelope that you have in your bulletin for the One Great Hour of Sharing. And these are donations that help others around the world. Our music ministry, we have our choir, of course, and each year we have the Songs of Christmas, a sing-along for the whole community to come in and sing Christmas. We also have music lessons provided here at the church. We had an organ concert, we'd have music recitals, and summer music time, and also where the members all just share their gift of music in some way. And we had the musical, the Florence Nightingale musical, that our own Pamela directed and wrote the story about. We have a wonderful pianist and between he and his twin brother, we have wonderful music on Sundays, so we're very grateful for that. We also have fun. We have bingo parties. We had one last night, and how many people were there and had a good time? And it was so much fun. We even had Elvis at one of them, and we had a night in Paris, and the country picnic with the Ballard Sedentary Sousa Band, and which was really marvelous. So watch for those in the Nextdoor Alki and the blog and so forth. We also have a fellowship dinner for the people in the church who like to have dinner out. During Lent and Easter, we have Lent contemplative services, which are wonderful, and an Easter festival with an egg hunt for the kids, which is really a lot of fun. Halloween, we've had the trunk or treat for the community and have games and treats for the children in the community. Thanksgiving food baskets for the needy families in the community. The Christmas market this year and last year was the first year we did it, and this year is going to be even more awesome, and where we have food and gifts and open up the area for people to come in. It's better than a big bazaar. The Songs of Christmas sing-along and the Christmas Eve candlelight service. We also have fellowship groups for movies and games and coffee hours and dinners. This is just some of the things we do to provide space for others, as well as worship services, Bible study, book group, leadership meetings, town hall meetings, 12-step group meetings, preschool, community meetings, and more, as we continue to serve the active community, including the Boy Scouts that are still meeting here. We are an open and affirming church, and all are welcome. Come and join us. Come more often and participate in this wonderful community.
One of the last things I want to lift up are some of the other ministries that use this space. So we have 8 different 12-step groups that meet in this building, including some that are often not, they're very surprised that they're welcome in churches. So we're the only place in West Seattle you can go for Sex Addicts Anonymous, and there's 2 groups here. There's that big of a demand. We're one of the few places, and up until very recently, we were the only place you could go for Narcotics Anonymous in all of West Seattle. And there's 2 groups because the demand is so high, the need for recovery is so high, as well as multiple Alcoholics Anonymous groups, and ones, especially ones that provide childcare. And there's a women's only group that provides childcare, and that's actually a pretty rare commodity in the AA world in this area. And then also Under Earners Anonymous. We're hosts to one of the top 10 preschools in all of the city of Seattle, A Child Becomes Preschool, and they've been with us for about a decade now. 12th Night Productions, the Threshold Singers that go to the bedsides of the folks that are on hospice or actively dying and sing to them. Moms Demand Action, there's music lessons that are taught out of this space. So many people that come through this space looking for a place where they can be truly, authentically, and fully welcomed. And I'd love to talk to you more about all of the programming that we have specifically, but I just wanted to name some of these partners.